Welcome to part 3 of the Practice of PDIA, Building Capability by Delivering Results podcast series. This 12-part series, based on a video series used for a PDIA online course, will walk you through the PDIA or Problem-Driven Iterative Adaptation approach to solving complex development problems. More than 1,500 development practitioners in 90 countries have used the PDIA approach. In today's podcast, Professor Len Pritchett will share with us a typology that will help you determine what kind of capability your organization needs in order to succeed. Len, you have developed a typology that can help one answer the question, building the capability to do what? Your typology has 4 analytical questions one needs to ask in order to determine the implementation capability required for one's program or activity. Can you please share what these questions are?
So the first question to ask about the implementation capability that you will need in order to be successful at your activity is in some ways the simplest. It is this activity transaction intensive? What do we mean by that? What we mean by that is basically, does it take few people or does it take many people? So take the example of the financial sector. In order for the Federal Reserve of the United States to make monetary policy that affects the course of this $15 trillion U.S. economy, a group of no more than 20 people meets in a room, makes decisions, and once those decisions are taken, their policy decisions are more or less self-implementing. This is the extreme of not transaction intensive. You can put a few people in a room, they can come to a decision, and there's very little. It's self-implementing what they decide. That's what we call policy, or that's one component of transaction intensive. At the opposite extreme is an activity like giving out loans to people. That actually requires lots of people in lots of places having interactions with lots of customers, and each individual loan is a transaction, and hence it takes many, many people. Now, part of our emphasis is that there are non-transaction intensive and transaction intensive activities within each sector. So think of the health sector. There are some things like iodization of salt that a few people can take the decision to do it. It really only involves iodizing salt in the few places that commercially manufacture salt, and it's done. On the opposite extreme is vaccinations, in which in order to vaccinate millions and millions of children, you need at a point in time some provider of the vaccination to come into direct physical contact with the recipient of the vaccination, which means the activity is transaction intensive. Transaction intensive means you'll require a very different kind of implementation capability in your organ than non-transaction intensive. So the first question that you should ask yourself is my activity transaction intensive? And it's basically ask yourself, does it take lots of people? Now, the next question to ask yourself about your activity is, what is it that the agents of the organization or the agents that are going to be implementing, what is it that you need them to do? And ask yourself, is what my agents need to do locally discretionary? Now, what do we mean by locally discretionary? What we mean is, does the agent, in the instance of doing what they need to do, need to form a judgment that is subtle and responsive to the conditions on the ground in order to successfully accomplish your objective? Or the contrast is not locally discretionary, which is your agent can just follow a script. Again, there are many examples because within each sector there are different kinds of activities. So for instance, vaccinations require lots of agents, but the agents actually can follow a very simple script. Each parent has a record of what vaccinations the child has received. The vaccinations should be received according to certain ages of the child. All the agent needs to know is the age of the child, and they can give the appropriate vaccinations. The opposite is ambulatory curative care. Each person walks into a health facility if they come for a curative care with a particular problem. They say, oh, my back hurts, I have a fever, I have a cough. And the job of the health person in that case has to be to respond to the particulars of that case. in a discretionary way, that is, the agent has to make decisions, and in a way that's very difficult for people from afar to know whether or not the agent has done the right thing. If I'm sitting in the Capitol and a nurse is sitting in a clinic, I can know easily, more or less, whether she's followed a script, but it's very hard to know if she did the right thing with respect to each patient that came in the door. That changes dramatically the implementation capability your organization requires. And again, there are examples in every sector. Think of the financial sector. Some things about banking can and should be reduced to a script. If I make a deposit at a bank, that there is no discretion of the clerk receiving my deposit as to what my deposit was. It's a rule, it's hard, it's fixed, it's observable. On the other hand, if I'm an agent of the bank giving out a loan for a business, I have to form a judgment about the borrower, about the viability of the business. That's locally discretionary. So the second question you need to ask yourself is, does the successful accomplishment of the activity require that your agents exercise local discretion? Now, the third question about the implementation capability that it will take to successfully accomplish the activity that you've written down is, you have to ask yourself, when your agents of the organization interact, are they interacting with people who want what your agent's trying to do or not want what your agent's trying to do? And this we call obligation or service. That is, the government and lots of other organizations tend to do two kinds of things. One is they provide services, which are things that in principle people would like. Education, better health, better roads, the enforcement of contract disputes between two individuals. But the government also, in the course of events, needs to impose obligations on people. I need to make you pay your taxes. I need policemen to enforce the law and prevent criminality. I need people to go out and prevent firms from polluting the environment. Now, in this instance, this makes implementation capability of your organization very different, because when your agent is doing something the direct recipient wants, they generate information that they're willing to share with you about the performance of the agent. In contrast, when you're imposing an obligation, your agent and the direct interaction would love to collude against you accomplishing your objective. So people will pay money to environmental regulators to underreport pollution. People will pay money to policemen to underreport criminality. So this completely changes the context in terms of, you need the capability of your agents to resist the potentially very high stakes temptations they will encounter in imposing obligations, versus when you're attempting to deliver a service, often the agents and the recipients of the service in principle have a common interest with the overall interest of providing an education, or providing healthcare. So again, this cuts across all sectors. As the world learned in the course of a financial crisis, it can well be that even with very apparently strong implementation capability, the regulators cannot be doing their jobs because they are induced in a variety of ways to not enforce regulations on the books. So the third question you should ask yourself is it an obligation or is it a service? Or service at the direct point of interaction of your agents with the recipient. So the last question about the implementation capability of your activity is whether your agents can act according to a known technology. Now, what do we mean by a known technology? What we mean by a known technology is that there's an accepted and widely regarded consensus among a community of practice as to what should be done, versus something where you really can't specify to your agent how to do it. You're trying to get something done that requires complexity of interaction between the agent and the recipient. Example from healthcare. Ambulatory curative care is a known technology. We have known diagnostic procedures for identifying a wide variety of disease conditions. Fortunately, we have specified and known treatments for a wide variety of conditions. There's the body of medical practice around which There are obviously disagreements at the margins, but there's a huge body of accepted medical practice. And so most ambulatory curative care is locally discretionary in that the doctor has to have a body of knowledge in their head and respond to the individual patient, but they're working on a known technology. In contrast, some parts of health, like preventive health, of getting individuals to do what would be good for their own health, there is no known technology for inducing agents to do this. So every time I go to a doctor, the doctor says to me, "Mr. Pritchett, you would be better off if you lost 15 pounds. And I jollily agree with him. Yes, I would be better off if I lost 15 pounds and proceed to not lose 15 pounds. So there's no known technology, unlike if I had a bacterial infection where it was easy to know what to do and my compliance was easy. There are lots of things about the world in which we don't yet have a known technology. So in the financial sector, we can do, as a locally discretionary but doable activity, microcredit, for instance. We have a variety of ways of identifying who will and will not repay loans according to criteria of their creditworthiness, criteria of their assets. But when it comes to promoting entrepreneurship and directing finance to people who will be successful entrepreneurs, the best people in the world are successful only rarely, because it's a very difficult to reduce to a known technology how to promote entrepreneurship. So this makes the implementation capability of your organization even more intense than being locally discretionary with a known technology, because you need your agents to essentially improvise on the fly and do a good job in ways that you can't in advance specify to them either as a script or as a body of knowledge of a community of practice. So the last question to ask about yourself is, are you dealing with a known technology, or do you need your agents to innovate on the fly?
Thanks, Lent. Let me summarize the four questions you have just shared. The first is your activity transaction intensive? The second is your activity locally discretionary? The third is your activity a service or an obligation? And the fourth is there a known technology for your activity? So once you have answers to these four questions, how do you put them together to create a classification?
Now we're going to bring it together and talk about five different names of activities. And these activities cut through a wide variety of sectors, depending on your answers to the typology questions. So if you answered that your activity was not transaction intensive, could be done by a few people, that it was locally discretionary, people had to make decisions in what they did, and it could have either been based on a known technology, and it could either be obligation or service. That's the realm of policymaking. This is when you can put a few people in a room, they can make decisions. The decisions they make obviously will be contextualized to the situation they're in. They clearly need to exercise some judgment in making those decisions. It can't be dictated in advance, but it's roughly self-implementing. The second category of analytical typology is logistics. This is when it is transaction intensive. It does take hundreds, thousands, or hundreds of thousands of agents to successfully accomplish the activity, like teaching children. It's when it is not locally discretionary. What each of those agents needs to do, it can, in fact, be reduced to a relatively simple script that is easy to observe, easy to be implemented. This means it's based on a known technology, and this can mostly involve service delivery, but conceivably can involve imposition of obligations as well. That's a logistical thing. Certain kinds of organizations work well to deliver logistics. The third kind of activity is implementation-intensive service delivery. Implementation-intensive means it requires lots of agents. You need lots of people out there in the field every day doing the right thing. It's locally discretionary, which means the right thing for your agents to do cannot be reduced to a script. They actually have to observe the world that they're in and respond in a fine-tuned way to what they observe. That is locally discretionary. It's based on a known technology. There is a community of practice that has some settled wisdom about what should be done, and it's a service. So the classic example there is primary schooling teaching. You know, in a large country, you literally have hundreds of thousands to millions of teachers. They need to be responding day to day to what the children in the classroom are actually doing and knowing in order to be effective teachers. It's not something that you can supervise for the top and reduce generally to a script. There is a known kind of technology called pedagogy of what will and will not work. And it is a service. Ultimately, the people who come to school one way or another want to learn. Now, the other category is implementation intensive, imposition of obligations. Again, takes lots of agents. Each of those agents' actions is difficult to reduce to a script. There's kind of a known community of practice technology, known technology. But in this case, it's an imposition of obligation. So the classic example here is policing. Policemen out on the street need to respond to their conditions day to day, minute to minute, in subtle and difficult ways. And hence requires that they exercise their local discretion in the imposition and maintaining law and order. Now, the final category is the one that we have a local name for. We call it Wicked Hod, and that's because we're based in Boston. And wicked doesn't mean evil, wicked just means very. And what Wicked Hod means is that it requires lots of agents. These agents need to exercise local discretion, but their local discretion can't be based on a known technology. You really require these agents in some sense to be individually innovating with respect to their local conditions rather than even following a body of knowledge. And whether that's service delivery or imposition of obligations, it's enormously, the kinds of organizations that can be mobilized to do the Wicked Hod require a particularly intense form of implementation capability. Now, just as we started with the pictures of different kinds of animals and said what's alike, we want to emphasize that we're not looking at the world sectorally. You know, the world tends to be organized around sectors, like health, and some people work on education, and some people work on public finance, and some people work on justice. But our classification cuts across all of those sectors. So for instance, if you look at the health example, a policy decision would be to iodize salt. It can be taken. Once it's taken, it's roughly self-implementing, doesn't require lots of agents. Logistics is vaccinations. It requires lots of agents, but each agent can follow a simple script. Service delivery is curative care. Each patient presents with a unique instance in which the provider needs to make a sophisticated diagnostic and treatment plan to that particular person, and it's difficult to know whether they've done the right thing. Imposition of obligations is the regulation of private providers. Once you say, I am going to regulate the private providers, you have all the same difficulty of observation of quality that you have if you're trying to do it yourself, and the private providers in their interaction with the regulator would often prefer that the regulator not, for instance, find that they're not providing high quality. And then the Wicked Hod is many kinds of preventive health, like campaigns to change practices around sexually transmitted diseases like HIV and AIDS. It's proven quite difficult because it's a Wicked Hod problem, is how to change human behavior, even with respect to their own health. We can work through the same thing. Monetary policy. 12 smart guys and gals can sit in a room, make monetary policy for the largest economies of the world. Logistics, you have to have payment systems. And payment systems involve no local discretion at all, hopefully. You make a payment, it goes through. It's hugely transaction intensive. There are billions and billions of transactions every day in a sophisticated economy, but it's got no discretion in it. Giving of loans is implementation intensive service delivery. You actually require the loan agents to form some local judgments. It can be made more or less logistic, but ultimately many kinds of loans reduced to judgment. Imposition of obligations, again, as we discovered even in the United States and in Europe, the regulation of the private sector turns out to require enormous amounts of capability, because in the first instance, the banks being regulated would just as soon not conform with things that reduce their profits. And finally, the wicked hard is identifying and promoting entrepreneurship with finance. So for instance, equity financing of startups is a wicked hard problem. Very few people have been able to reduce it even to the kinds of knowledge one would take. And we can do this with the justice sector. The same sort of set of things. So now when you go back and you look at your activity that you wrote down at the beginning, you want to be able to say to yourself, my activity requires the implementation intensity of which of these types? Because for the rest of the, as we're thinking about building organizational capability, the way, everything about the way you go about building an organization capability depends on whether you're building capability for policymaking, you're building capability for logistics, you're building capability for intensive service delivery, for intensive imposition of obligations, or whether you're trying to do the wicked hard. If you don't understand at the beginning what the nature of the kind of thing you're trying to do is, you can't have any useful advice about how to build the capability to do it.
Thank you for listening to part 3 of the Practice of PDIA podcast series. Tune in to listen to part 4, where we discuss PDIA as a way to escape capability traps. To learn more, visit bsc.cid.harvard.edu.